So the last time you were on was about a month ago, March 13th. The NHL trade deadline just concluded. They traded Jake Guentzel. All hope was lost. And we were talking about why couldn't they have gotten more for Jake? All these scenarios. And it looked hopeless. And they looked horrible. They played horrible. And then all of a sudden, these last 13 games, they completely changed how they play and they're practically undefeated. What happened in these last 13 games to spark them like this?
Sidney Crosby. I think that he went through a little bit of a mourning period for about two games, maybe more than two games. That 6-0 game to the Capitals, the day that they traded Guentzel, and then maybe a couple games after that. But I think he just woke up about a month ago and said, "I'm Sidney Crosby. I'm not letting my team go out like this." And he's got 23 points in his last 12 games. He's 36 years old. He's 40 goals and 50 assists, more than 40 goals and more than 50 assists. That's only the second time in his career he's ever done that, where he has more than 40 goals and more than 50 assists. The only other time was the 09-10 season. So, I mean, obviously everybody's playing well. Nedeljkovic certainly had a huge hand in this, winning streak, this point streak. Michael Bunting has been a great addition to this team. Of course, he's not Jake Guentzel, but he certainly filled a role that the Penguins were sorely missing, basically since Patrick Hornquist left. Drew O'Connor's been great. Rust, I think they finally found good pairings by default with Ryan Graves getting hurt. I think P.O. Joseph and Letang are great together, and that. They have a solid bottom pair now with St. Ivany and Shea. I mean, if by some miracle they get into the playoffs, I'd be a little concerned with two rookies on my bottom pair, but that's something you deal with if it happens.
I, to me, it just defies explanation, defies belief. I mean, they played a certain way for about 68 games, and we were so frustrated. And I mean, it's the frustration spilled out into them probably not making the playoffs. I don't know. I don't, I just don't. I for one thing, it almost seemed like addition by subtraction. And I'm talking about Graves and Tristan Jarry. And that's kind of scary, but how is Nedeljkovic so good? It seems like, I mean, they put him out every single game. That's what they think of Ned, and that's what they think of Jarry. How is he just playing way above what he's supposed to, or is this what he is?
I think Nedeljkovic, and I can't, I don't remember if it was on your show or another show that I was on earlier this season. I said, I think Nedeljkovic is actually the more talented goalie. I mean, when you look at Nedeljkovic, he was in the running for Rookie of the Year in his rookie season. He had some setbacks and, didn't stick with Detroit, didn't stick with Carolina, but I mean, he's still a relatively young guy, and I think that he is very talented and could be a number one goalie. I mean, even a number one goalie, though, is not going to start 12 games in a row. Eventually, you're going to get worn out. And I think that's what happened in that Boston game. I think he looked okay last night against Nashville. It's hard to say he should have stopped the Forsberg goal. He was a little bit off his angle, but I mean, that was a heck of a work. I think he has something like 48 goals or something now. And like you just alluded to, okay, you've started Nedeljkovic in 12 straight games now. How do you go back to Jarry now next season? I think that Jarry's time here is done now. I think that Kyle Dubas is gonna see what he can get for him in the offseason, whatever that might be, and Maybe the plan is to sign Nedeljkovic for a year or two. I mean, I think he's earned probably a 2-year contract at least at this point. They've got Blomqvist in the minors. If you can trade Jari, maybe you retain some salary. I don't know, but I just don't see how you could possibly go back to him now after you had a guy that came in that was supposed to be the backup and started the last 12 games, the most 12 most important games of your season.
Yeah, I mean, there's no bigger slap in the face than, this guy is gassed. He has nothing. He can barely move, and we still want him over you. I think that just in the most important games of the season, I think that just speaks volumes. And with all the moves last off season, the one I was most upset about was re-signing Jari. Jari has done nothing throughout his entire career to warrant a long-term contract. Yes, he's talented, but when it comes to games that count, he absolutely was horrible in the playoffs. Every time he played in the playoffs, the one series, I think it was against the Islanders, he just gave away. He can't be counted on, and for some reason, they gave him a long-term deal. Yeah. There's no way. There's no way he could come back. So
I
we'll
mean, I think
see.
the only reason that he got the long-term deal was there was literally nobody else available. I mean, I think Dubas went out and got the best goalie on the market that was available in Nedeljkovic. And, then he looked around the league and was like, there's no one else out there that I can sign that would be any better than Jari. So I'm just going to sign him and hope that, he really starts to prove himself, which he did for about 20 games. He played really well for about 20 games. And then he turned into the Jari that we've seen for the past, what, 3 or 4 seasons now.
Yeah. So we are recording this on Tuesday night. It's almost 7:30. The Red Wings are playing the Canadiens right now, and the Flyers are playing the Capitals, and the Penguins need both of them to lose, right? Even if they get a loser point, that's okay. It's just they cannot win.
No win in regulation for Detroit or Washington. If either one of them win in regulation, then the Penguins are out.
Yeah, I've seen the Penguins have a 14% chance of doing this. And as we talked about before the recording, it would be very funny if the Red Wings lost and the Capitals lost, and then the Penguins lost to the Islanders the next night. That would be hilarious and not surprising at all given their history.
Given their history with the Islanders, wouldn't put it past them.
So we could say that there's a pretty good chance the Penguins will not make the playoffs for the second year. What I've heard so many factors as to why they are where they are, but what do you think was the biggest reason they're not making the playoffs? The power play?
Well, there's a lot of factors, but I'll choose that one. Not only are they 31st out of 32 teams in power play percentage, they rank last in the league in power play zone entry, and they have given up the most shorthanded goals in the league at 12. So not only are they not scoring on the power play, they can't even enter the zone on the power play, and they're giving up shorthanded goals on the power play. I mean, if you would have told me that this power play was going to be 31st in the league when they acquired Erik Karlsson, I would have said, you're crazy. But here we are. I mean, their power play, now it has looked better in the past like 3 or 4 games. They actually scored a power play goal last night. But it's to the point, it got to the point where it was like, just get through this power play without giving up a shorthanded goal. Like, it wasn't even like, let's hope that they set this up and get good chances. It was more like, just don't give up a shorthanded goal. Get through these 2 minutes. And I mean, that is absurd when you have a power play that has Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, either Chris Letang or Erik Karlsson. And it earlier in the season, Jake Gensel was it's how does this power play not score? If it was just average, they'd be well situated in a playoff spot right now.
It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable. That was the most frustrating thing about this season is it's been bad all year. Like historically, horrifically bad. And basically nothing changed. They didn't change their tactics. They didn't change the personnel. They didn't change anything. And it's just so frustrating. They're just I don't know. Their stubbornness is just maddening.
It is. The only thing that has changed on the power play recently is that Michael Bunting is planting himself in front of the net. And that's why the power play looks a little bit better right now. They're using him in like a bumper position. They're getting him in front of the net. And even though that goal got called off last night, he was right where he needed to be. I mean, he was right in the face of the goaltender and he kept on going back there. And that's what they need on that power play. Just real quick, the other thing is never changing the way they play, regardless if they're winning by 2 goals, losing by 2 goals, never protecting a lead that I don't know how many 2 goal, 3 goal, even 4 goal
Or
leads
goal.
flew to Chicago, to Colorado. If they would have just changed their mentality, even with 10 minutes left in the third period, I'm not saying to just lock it down for the whole third period, but you got a 2 goal lead with 10 minutes left. You have to change the style in which you're playing. I mean, that goal the other night that they gave up to Detroit, where Erik Karlsson is pinching on the play off the faceoff with like 5 minutes left in the game, and Detroit goes down. Sidney Crosby's trying to get back to cover for Karlsson, didn't manage to do it. I mean, what are you thinking there? What are you thinking? And we've seen it with Letang. Letang gave up a goal, got pickpocketed in that game, and essentially was responsible for a goal. It's mind-boggling that these guys, these veteran guys, just think of the experience on this team, can't figure out a way to protect a 2 goal, 3 goal, and in that one instance, a 4 goal lead. It just it, it and like I don't does it come down to coaching? I mean, you would think that these guys would know better. That you start protecting a lead when you're running out of time in the game, but I don't know.
It was mind-boggling. It's just unbelievable. And it happened so many times. It was almost a given. Even with a 2-goal lead in the third period, they gave up a 2-goal lead to Columbus.
Yeah.
It was just ridiculous. And yeah, they did not change anything. Here's a crazy idea. Pinch less. Still be aggressive, but just not, just do it less. It's just unbelievable, and they never learned. And that was just it just that's just that was the theme all season. We're stubborn, and we're not changing how we're doing things. So just deal with it. And
Yeah.
now this is, now they're in this situation. Okay, fine. They made this bed. They're gonna have to lie in it.
Yeah. I mean, I put out a tweet last night, and it was hard for me to narrow it down to five, the top five blown games this season. And I'm looking at all the results, and I'm going, I don't know. Should that be a top five? I mean, there were like 11 games that I could pick from where
Right,
blew a
right.
lead. I mean, just a couple of the ones that I came up with. The game in Calgary, where they were up by 2 goals with less than 10 minutes left. Chris Letang gets pickpocketed, and with 50 seconds left in regulation, Calgary goes ahead. Three unanswered goals. There was the game in Vegas where they were up by 2 goals in the third period and lost in regulation. There was opening night, they blew a 2-0 lead
Chicago, yeah.
to Chicago. They blew the 4-0 lead to Colorado. And we can't forget about the shorthanded game-winning goal that they gave up against Anaheim very late in the third period when they were on a 5-on-3. And the guy came out of the box, went on a breakaway, and scored on Jari and game-winning shorthanded goal against Anaheim. And then, of course, the blown lead to Columbus where they lost in overtime. So think about that. The blown lead to the non-playoff teams, Columbus, Chicago, and Anaheim. And then they had that clunker of a game against Arizona where they put the puck in their own net. All non-playoff.
If only they, if only in some of those blown leads, they could have just taken it to overtime. They would be in the playoffs. It's insane. It's insane. It's and this team has so much talent, and they're probably going to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, another one that really looms large is they had a game against the Capitals at home, and they let the Capitals get out to a 4-0 lead in the first period. They fought back, but they ended up losing 4-3. You know, get a point out of that game. You're not worried about the Capitals winning or losing tonight. You get a point out of that. You don't give Detroit the point last Thursday. You're not worried about them winning tonight.
We have breaking news.
I think I know what you're going to say.
The Canadians have scored. It is 1-0 Canadians in the first period.
See that. Oh, I don't trust them with the lead, just like the Penguins.
Well, last night, Montreal had like what a 4-1 lead or something like that.
One
And then
lead.
they were possessed by the ghost of Chris Letang and Erik Karlsson, and they gave up and that loss in overtime. I mean, there's I'm never rooting for the Flyers to ever win, but I am rooting for the Capitals to lose, and I'll just leave it at that. Was getting Erik Karlsson a mistake?
I'm still going to say no because they still got rid of all of those bad salaries, all those bad contracts in getting him. And like, this is going to sound terrible, but I don't think he could be any worse than he was this season. And that's a shame too, because the first like 20 games of the season, I was like impressed by how well he was playing defense. There was about a 20 game stretch where I was like, hey, he's not nearly as bad on defense as I thought he would be. And then I don't know what happened after that, but he turned into Sergei Gonchar in his first year, if you remember that. I mean, that was a train wreck too. So, you know, maybe he'll get better. Maybe a whole season playing just with Pettersson, like if they keep these pairings together, maybe that'll create some sort of synergy. But just his decision making, and I mean, maybe it says something that I think he's only been in the playoffs like 6 times in his career, maybe 7. Maybe that says something about him. I don't know, but I mean, you know, he played his 1,000th game the other night. I think he's made 1,000 bad decisions just this season.
Pretty much. Pretty much. In theory, having an offensive defenseman that doesn't play defense in Carlson and Chris Letang eating up most of your minutes was maybe not the best idea. But
Yeah, I mean, like I said,
that's what happened.
it's still, you know, you have to consider they got rid of all those bad contracts. Of course, they're giving up their first round pick this year, but I mean, it's going to be pick 16, 17, whatever. It's not going to be a great pick anyway. So.
So they've done so well these past 13 games. Do you think they'll look at that and say, you know what, we don't need to really make them any changes. Let's just keep everybody and hope we get better next year because we finally figured it out.
No, I think Dubas realizes what this team actually is. I think that he's going to try to move Raquel. I think he's going to try to move Riley Smith. I don't think that he's going to be able to move Ryan Graves, but I think he would like to. I think he's going to try to move Jari. They got to get younger guys in here. And you know, they'll probably have some open spaces. Jeff Carter's I'm most likely going to retire, I would think. Though honestly, like for what he is, fourth line center, I thought Carter had a pretty effective season. He had like 10 goals. I mean, he only has two less goals than Raquel. You know, he has, you know, Riley Smith, Jeff Carter, and Ricard Raquel pretty much have the same amount of goals, which is crazy when you think about it. But you know, he'll most likely retire. I think Bennstrom is a good bottom six guy. You know, maybe Jaeger comes up here. You got to infuse this lineup with youth. I mean, I love what Shea and St. Ivany are doing right now. They're just kind of steady third D pairing guys. You know, maybe you bring Blomqvist up and re-sign Nedeljkovic and, you know, kind of integrate him into the lineup that way. I mean, this is a stretch, but maybe you sign Marc-Andre Fleury for a year to back up Ned if he signs here again, if Fleury even wants to play again, who knows? But yeah, I don't think Dubas is going to be like, well, we did good towards the end of the season there. I think we'll just keep everything status quo. I think he knows that he's got to get rid of some of these dead weight contracts. I mean, Riley Smith, what a disappointment. Raquel just, you know, he had that great first season here, and then they signed him that long-term deal, and he's never been as effective as he was in that first year. You know, so if he can find takers for those guys, and honestly, I think what he's going to try to do is just stockpile draft picks, second round picks, third round picks, fourth round picks. You know, stockpile the draft picks, see what you can get. They might not be all in this year's draft; they might be future draft picks, but and then root for Carolina to win the Stanley Cup. So they inherit a first round pick by doing that too. So, well, you know, we'll see what happens. But no, I think that there are going to be some pretty significant changes.
Dubas has said many times we need to get younger. So I think he has seen the light that, yeah, I mean, because I think I believe right now that the Penguins are the oldest team in the league. I think he has figured out, and you know, hey, he's been at this for less than a year. Well, you know, and all of those moves he made last year. We loved them. We loved all of them. You know, on paper, Graves would be great, and getting Riley Smith and all those moves he made, they on paper they sound great. So I mean, you really can't blame him. It just didn't work out.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to criticize some of his moves, you also have to give him credit for some of the moves. Signing Nedeljkovic, I mean, he's been the backstop for all these wins. Lars Eller was a great pickup. I think he's been a really solid guy in that third line. You know, Matt Nieto, he got hurt. Who knows? He could have been a stabilizing person on that bottom six. You know, he signed a bunch of guys that have come up from Wilkes-Barre. Like I know. They're not contributing, but it added the depth in the organization. You know, he re-signs a Horna. He's been up and down with the Penguins. Earlier in the season, it was Hinostroza. You know, they're not guys that are like contributing like John Gruden is up here. You know, he signed these guys for depth in the organization, and they did come up and contribute at different points during the season. So, like I said, for there's definitely moves that you criticize him for, but. How could he have possibly known that Riley Smith was going to be this bad? I mean, I watch a lot of Vegas Golden Knights games. I have a best friend who lives out in Vegas. I go out there. I go to Vegas Golden Knights game. I watched probably 50 Golden Knights games last year. Riley Smith was on the score sheet every night. Not goals and assists, block shots, penalty killing. You know, of course he contributed with goals too. But he was a solid player for the Golden Knights the last 3, 4 seasons. And when they acquired him, I'm thinking he's going to be a great addition to this lineup. And he's been so disappointing.
It's like he doesn't care.
What it looks like. Looks like his heart is still in Las Vegas.
Oh my goodness. Buddy,
That's a shame.
you changed. It's not that bad here. We put fries in our sandwiches and our salads. It's not that bad here, man.
But, like you're getting a
We have
chance.
a casino.
Yeah.
Go to
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not like you're playing for the Sharks or the Blue Jackets here. I mean, you're getting to play with Letang, Karlsson, Crosby, Malkin, Gensel was here at the beginning of this. I mean, there's still really good players here, and it's a very well-run organization. And I just don't understand that at all.
He must have left some money in those slot machines or something like that in Vegas. He was really missing that big payday. I don't know. Yeah, because he was traded here. He wasn't, it wasn't his choice to come here, but dude, I almost expected them to trade him back to Vegas in the at the trade deadline. And they probably would have if it was a better market, but we'll see. So as of right now, the Canadians are still winning and the Capitals and Flyers are tied. So good results for now. We'll see. What do you think of who do you what team do you think is going to go far in the playoffs?
My dark horse is Winnipeg. I think that the Jets are coming on at the right time. They beat Colorado 7-0 the other night in a game that Colorado needed to win for playoff positioning. I think that they have the best goaltender in Hellebuck, and I think they have a sneaky deep lineup. They've been up and down throughout the course of the season, but I think Winnipeg's going to be a tough out in the West. In the East, I think Carolina's the best team. I know they didn't finish with the top record, but that addition to Gensel has really kind of propelled them. I mean, they're scoring goals. They're in the system that they play under Brind'Amour. They're going to be tough. That my only concern with them is goaltending. They're like not even really sure who their number one goalie is going into the playoffs, so that's a little scary, I would say. But I think Carolina's the best team in the East. If you had to make me pick the top team in the West, I would probably say Dallas. But again, I wouldn't be shocked at all if it was Winnipeg that came up.
Hey, Hellebuck. Hellebuck almost won me a fantasy hockey championship. So I know he's good. But yeah, that Western Conference is stacked. Dallas, Winnipeg, and Colorado in the Central, and Vancouver, Edmonton, and LA in the Pacific, and then Nashville, who's been hot like crazy in Vegas. That is a stacked conference. So yeah, this is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, think about that. The 8 seed is the defending Stanley Cup champion.
Yeah. I just know I don't know what will happen in the East, but I know Toronto won't do anything like
They'll be
usual.
out in the first round. We could all bet on that.
They are truly the Dallas Cowboys of hockey. Remember when Jake Gensel was in the playoffs? He was a playoff beast, and I imagine that's what he's going to do this time. So that's going to be real exciting to see.
And I think that's a very favorable matchup for Carolina getting the Islanders. I think that they'll probably dispose of the Islanders in 5 games. I think that's a really good matchup for them.
If the Penguins do make the playoffs, they'll probably play the Rangers.
They
Do
would
you
play.
think they would stand a chance against the Rangers?
I actually do. Like, I think if the Penguins had the Hurricanes, they would get swept in 3 games. But I
Did
actually,
not show up to game four.
yeah, exactly. I think the Penguins match up pretty well with the Rangers. They always play them tough. They did have one blowout loss to the Rangers this year, but I mean they beat them a couple weeks ago. I think they match up well against them. I think it would probably go 6 games. I think they would lose, but I think that they would stretch them out to 6, maybe even 7 games. I think that it's not as bad a matchup for them as Carolina would be, or the Florida Panthers would probably sweep them too.
It would be entertaining as heck. All those thugs on the Rangers, Shesterkin. I remember when they played the Rangers and the Penguins played in the playoffs a few years ago. I was in the arena, we were chanting Igor. It would just be entertaining. Playoff hockey is so much fun. It would be great if the Penguins were in it, but it's just to me, it's just the best time of the year. It's just you have 2 months of intense hockey. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's even if the Penguins don't get in, I still enjoy watching it. It's just like a different level of hockey. And, obviously we all want the Penguins to get in. It's good for the city. It's good for, revenue generation for the franchise. But I mean, we're it's the 1-1 now, Detroit, Montreal. But, the Penguins need a lot of help here, and they have nobody to blame but themselves. Playoffs for all of the blown games that we talked about earlier.
Really, it really is. It really is just self-inflicted wounds for sure. Where can people find you and follow you and get more of your work?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at PGHVC. And if you want to read more of the Fischler Report, which is named after Stan Fischler, you could just Google Fischler Report, and you can find it that way. That's the easiest way to do it. Just Google it. It's part of the hockey news, but kind of its own separate entity. So it's easier to just Google it and find it that way.
Yep. All right. All right. We'll be scoreboard watching all night. Hey, thanks for coming on.
All right, anytime.
I'll see you.